The word of God given to us today is Acts 28, verses 1 to 2. Please turn to page 237 of the New Testament. It's Acts chapter 28, verses 1 to 2. Allow me to read the words of God. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Amen. The Alexandrian ship that was swept away by the deadly Northeaster went through the risk of trying to land on an island they did not even know of on the 15th morning. But the bow struck a sandbar and was stuck fast, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The 276 people on the ship all swam or got on planks or other pieces of the ship and reached the land safely. Surprisingly, they found out that the island was called Malta. Malta, which is about 800 kilometers to the west of Crete, was located on the way to Rome. People had no idea where their ship was being swept away in the midst of the deadly storm. But during the 14 days and nights in the darkness, without even being able to see the sun or the stars, they were swept away to the Malta island that was in the path to Rome. The probability of a ship being swept away in the storm in the vast Mediterranean Sea exactly towards the Malta, which is merely like a dot on a globe, is actually close to zero. But this miracle, with the zero probability, did actually happen in old and weak Paul's life. This was the providence of God, who is going to make Paul stand at the imperial court as God's Hypatius and Martyrs. Verse 2 of today's passage is a testimony about what happens later. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. There's an important content in this short testimony that we must pay attention to. The islanders of Malta, who found the people that landed on the island, showed us unusual kindness. There were 276 people that arrived on the Malta. But the "we" mentioned inside the passage is referring to Paul's party. Paul, Aristarchus, and Luke, who recorded this, according to the story that unfolds later on. The islanders of Malta showed unusual kindness to Paul and his companions. The Greek noun, philanthropia, which was translated into sympathy in Korean originally means philanthropy or kindness. On whichever island, the islanders meet castaways once in a while. It's a part of their lives for the islanders to provide any necessary help to the castaways, whether it be free or not. People of Malta may have also encountered more than a few castaways during their lifetimes. This time, there were altogether 276 castaways at once. And yet, the islanders showed unusual kindness to Paul and his companions. How exceptional must have it been for Luke, that recorded the entire events, to leave a testimony in the Bible saying that they showed us unusual kindness? Because this fact itself contains a very important meaning. according to verse 11, Paul's companions spent 3 months of winter on Malta until the spring came. During the period, the cost for food and accommodation for the soldiers would have been paid off by the Roman Empire. The ship owner must have taken care of the cost for the captain and the sailors, and the other passengers would have taken care of the cost with their own expense. But Paul and his companions did not have any money. Maybe Luke or Aristarchus may have had a bit of allowance, but it was highly unlikely that they possessed such big amount of money to pay off for the food that three people can eat for 3 months. But the islanders of Malta regarded Paul's company as the subjects for their unusual kindness and built fire and welcomed them. We will be looking more into this continuously in the future. But because of their kindness, Paul's company and the islanders developed a special relationship between themselves. As a result, verse 10 testifies that they honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail there, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. Not only did the islanders take care of Paul and his companions' accommodation and foods for 3 months, they took care of all the things they needed on the ship the next spring, when Paul's company left the Malta. All of these started when islanders considered Paul's companions as the subjects for their unusual kindness. So why among all those 276 castaways did Malta islanders consider only Paul's company the subject for their unusual kindness? The Alexandrian ship that was heading toward the shore of the Malta got stuck on a sandbar. The Alexandrian ship was not a small boat, but a large vessel that transported grains. For a large ship to be stuck on a sandbar inside the sea, it must have been somewhere pretty far from the shore. From there, people had to swim or ride on a plank to land on Malta. It is with no doubt that weak and old Paul, who reached the end of his life, also had to jump into the Mediterranean Sea to swim or rely on a plank through the rough waves to reach toward Malta. At the time, the Mediterranean Sea was stepping into winter stage. It must have been such a hard thing to do for the old and weak Paul to work his way through such a long distance through the rough and cold winter sea. At last, when he landed on the island, it turned out to be Malta, an island on the path to Rome. This was a result of the mysterious providence of God to make Paul stand at the imperial court as his Hypatius and Martius. Then wouldn't it have been more appropriate for God to make hot sunshine on the Malta island for weak and old Paul, who just fought his way out through the cold winter sea? Wouldn't have that been the way to protect Paul, his precious Hypatius, and Martius? But the testimony in the passage tells us something opposite. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. It was raining and cold on the Malta island, where Paul's company landed on difficultly. If we translate the Greek original directly, it means a sudden shower fell, and the cold came with it. If the sun was shining hot down when all 276 passengers from the Alexandrian ship landed on the island of Malta, there wouldn't have been a reason for the islanders to notice Paul out of all the 276 castaways. And Paul's company, who had no money at all, would have had to go through all so many difficulties to spend 3 months of winter on Malta. But when they finally landed on Malta after fighting through the cold winter waters of the Mediterranean Sea, winter showers started to fall, and coldness rushed to them, as if adding insult to injury. The 276 people that landed on Malta did not eat or drink for the past 14 days, except for the bread that they ate with Paul in the dawn to survive. But the soldiers and the sailors were trained and were with strength. Other passengers who lived a comparatively affordable life than Paul also must have been in better condition than Paul. But it was a different story for old and weak Paul. Old Paul, who was suffering from his chronic illnesses, could not consume any food or drink for 14 days. So the level of exhaustion of physical strength must have been greater than anyone else. The old and weak Paul jumped into the cold winter sea and had to move a long distance, fighting through the high waters. But to add to the misfortune, winter rain started to fall and coldness rushed in when they finally landed on Malta. Weak and old Paul, whose lips had turned blue from the coldness from being exposed to the winter waters and the winter rain, must have been hopelessly shaking hard, not being able to stand the coldness. To the eyes of the islanders of Malta, the old and feeble Paul's pitiful figure would have seemed most noticeable among the 276 castaways. It felt like something bad would happen soon if they didn't do something for Paul right away. This was the reason why the islanders showed their unusual kindness to Luke and Aristarchus, Paul's companions, and built fire and welcomed them all. And because of this, the islanders in Paul's company were able to develop a special relationship, as I have told you earlier. And the islanders eventually ended up taking care of Paul and his companions as board and lodging during the 3 months that Paul's company was staying on Malta. That surprise happened on the morning when Paul's company arrived on the Malta island and winter rain fell and coldness rushed in. The old and weak Paul did not blame God or complain to God because he had to fight through the rough winter sea. And winter rain started falling and it became colder when he finally arrived on the Malta. Neither did the old and feeble Paul pretend as if he had no problem at all among the soldiers and sailors who had strong iron-like power. The old meek Paul just helplessly stood under the winter rain and shuddered at the coldness of the winter. And through this extreme situation, God's providence of making the islanders take care of Paul and his companions with food and accommodations for 3 months had worked accurately. This year, we have studied about Jacob in Genesis through the Bible studies. Jacob stole the blessing for the firstborn, which Esau, his twin brother, should have received. When the angry Esau tried to kill Jacob after knowing of this event, Jacob fled to his uncle's home in Paddan Aram. There, Jacob also deceived his uncle, Laban, and at times was deceived by his uncle. And in 20 years of time, Jacob was able to make most of his uncle's flock as his own. At last, when Jacob was not able to live there anymore, he had to come back to Canaan, his home. On the road back to home, Jacob was at unease at the thought of his brother Esau, who tried to kill him, and was worried about how to soften his brother's heart. When he came close to Seir, where Esau was residing, Jacob heard that his brother was coming his way with 400 men. These 400 men that Esau, the hunter, had brought with him were killers to kill Jacob. Jacob was good as dead. But the reaction that Esau showed to Jacob after 20 years was beyond imagination for Jacob. It's Genesis chapter 33, verse 4. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. As soon as Esau saw Jacob, he ran to meet Jacob, embraced him, threw his arms around Jacob's neck, and then kissed him. To such reaction that Jacob never expected, Jacob also embraced Esau, and together they wept. And with that, the grudge of wanting to kill his brother that Esau had against Jacob for 20 years had melted away. Esau offered to leave the 400 men that he hired to kill Jacob to accompany Jacob, but Jacob refused. How do you think this beyond imagination reversal between the two brothers was possible? Let us look back into the night before. Jacob could not sleep at the thought of meeting his brother Esau the next day. He prayed to God so desperately all night long. It was a prayer to save Jacob from Esau's sharp blade. God, who had answered to Jacob's answer, did not give 1,000 men to win over the 400 men that Esau hired. Nor did he provide a secret hideout for Jacob to hide and flee from Esau. God, in answer to Jacob's prayer, hit the socket of Jacob's hip. Jacob, whose hip was wrenched, had to walk with a limp since then. Esau, who tried to kill Jacob by hiring 400 men, imagined Jacob to look like a nasty swindler. But the Jacob that stood before him after 20 years was someone totally different. Jacob's clothes were wrinkled from praying for life and death matter all night long on the floor. His hair was a mess, and his face looked dreadful. What was more, Jacob was limping while walking towards him. His brother, who used to be so shiny and bright, now came back with a limp in one of his legs after 20 years. Seeing his brother Jacob in an unexpected state, the brotherly love that Esau had forgotten about came back to him. Esau, who tried to kill Jacob, who came back with a limp, ran to him and embraced, kissed him, and then welcomed him. Jacob, who prayed all night to beg for his life, did not blame God for making him limp. He did not pretend like he was not limping just to not lose his face before his brother that he's meeting for the first time in 20 years. If he did, Jacob would have lost his life at the knife of Esau right away. Jacob, who prayed all night, walked limping, just as God made him limp toward Esau, his brother. And then his reconciliation with Esau, that seemed impossible, was done. The reason why God hit Jacob's hip and made him a limp was the mysterious providence of God to trying to recover Jacob and Esau's brotherly love between them. Same goes for Moses as well. The Egyptian pharaoh gave a horrible order to throw baby boys into Nile to kill them if the Hebrew slaves gave birth to a boy. But Moses' parents kept him a secret for 3 months after his birth. When it was no longer possible to hide him, Moses' parents put him in a papyrus basket and put him between the reeds on the Nile. Just then, the Egyptian princess came out to the Nile for a bath, found the basket, and then opened it. There inside was a Hebrew baby. It was one of those baby boys from the Hebrew slaves that the Pharaoh ordered to kill. The princess was the daughter of the Pharaoh. The princess was supposed to throw the baby boy away into the Nile to obey to her father's order. But just then, the Hebrew baby boy started crying. According to Exodus chapter 2, verse 6, the princess pitied the little baby crying inside the papyrus basket. The baby crying itself as if about to die triggered the motherly instinct inside the princess's heart. She took the poor Hebrew baby boy as her adopted son, going against her father's will. Thanks to her, for 40 years, Moses was able to live in the Egyptian palace as a prince and received the education for kings. If the Hebrew baby boy did not cry so pitifully when the princes had opened the papyrus basket, the princess would have ordered her maid to throw the Hebrew slave baby into the Nile to have him die according to her father's orders, because slaves weren't humans to the Egyptians at the time. But God made Moses, the Hebrew slave baby, inside the papyrus basket, to cry so pitifully to achieve his providence to use Moses as an instrument to free the Israelites from slavery to Egypt 80 years later. What type of situation are we in right now at the end of this year? Do you feel that you have finally got yourself out of the deadly northeaster only to be met by the winter shower and the shuddering and shudder and cold in your life? Have you cried out loud to God to save your life? And then God hit the socket of your life, leaving you a limp in life. Is your current status of life so trivial? As a papyrus basket that you can't stand it without crying out loud? Today is the second Sunday of an event which we celebrate upon Jesus' birthday and wait for his return. The Holy Son, Jesus, has come down to earth to save the humans. But God the Father did not make his only son be born as a Roman emperor, but made him be born from a poor family in Galilee. Jesus did not blame God for making him a poor, nor was he hurt in his pride. Till the day he left this earth, he was never intimidated at the fact that he was a poor. Before his death on the cross, Jesus prayed so desperately, so much to the point where his blood was soaked into his sweat, to avoid death. But God the Father consistently did not give him any response to his one and only son. Jesus accepted God's non-response as his response and gladly died on the cross as a sacrifice to achieve Father God's will. Father God brought that Jesus back into life in 3 days after his death and made him the eternal Christ. The reason why Father God made his only son be born and raised as a poor boy in Galilee and then left him to die on the cross as a sacrifice was to give the eternal new day as the Christ who saves anyone and everyone regardless of how rich or poor a person is. The reason why the winter rain fell and coldness rushed on the Malta island when Paul finally landed on it after getting away from the deadly northeaster was the providence of God to make the islanders show unusual kindness to the old and weak Paul, shaking from coldness, and take care of him for 3 months. So that God may bring new year to Paul on the following year when he finally enters Rome. The reason why God wrenched the socket of Jacob's hip, who was crying all night, to save him was to make a new relationship start with Esau, Jacob's brother that tried to kill him. The reason why Moses, The Hebrew slave baby was not asleep, but crying when the Egyptian princess opened the papyrus basket, was the mysterious providence of God to make Moses the leader of Exodus 80 years later. If God made the winter rain fall and coldness rush in our lives, then it is to give us the new year God had planned for us through the winter rain and coldness. If God had hit the socket of our hips, and so our lives are limping, then it is to make us start a new relationship with someone in our lives. If God had made our lives so trivial that we cannot stand without crying, then it is to give us a new chance that He had planned for us through those cries. So we should not try to pretend that our lives aren't cold, not limping, not crying, or covering it up in any other way. We cannot fill our lives with what God is trying to provide us. Let us all just shudder in cold under the winter rain. Let our lives limp just as God wrenched us. Let us cry out loud before God so pitifully through all those procedures. Jesus will let us enjoy all the new years, new relationships, and new chances that God provides for us. Why? The Jesus that we believe in is a Christ that broke death, which consumes everything into past, and came back to life in 3 days toward the new future. Let us pray. Father God, we thought that we have finally gotten away from the deadly gale of the Northeaster. But the winter's thundershower still falls on our lives, leaving nothing but the harsh coldness behind. We have prayed so desperately for you to save our lives, but instead, the Lord has hit the socket of our lives, and thus our lives are limping. It is so hard to bear without crying out loud because our lives are so trivial, just like the papyrus basket. But, O Lord, we will not disguise ourselves like Paul, Jacob, or Moses did. We will stand exposed under the rain and leave ourselves to shudder in the coldness of the winter. We will go onwards with our lives as they are. We will cry out loud. Upon celebrating the second Sunday of Advent, we will never forget that the Lord, who was born and raised from a poor family in a humble town of Galilee, and then died on the cross as a sacrifice, is the Christ who came back to life in 3 days. Through all these procedures, let us all receive and enjoy the new year, the new relationship, and the new chance that God is trying to give us within the Lord who came back to life in 3 days. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.